Lady Esther is happy to present the Screen Guild players in a picture that made screen history. Paramount Pictures' romantic drama, Private Worlds by Phyllis Batome. It stars Claudette Colbert as Dr. Everest, Herbert Marshall as Dr. Monet, Isabel Jewell as Sally, and Frank Albertson as Alex. The Lady Esther, Screen Guild players in Private Worlds.
Name, Jane Everest. Age, 31. Occupation, physician. That's a familiar beginning for me. I'm a doctor, a psychiatrist. I've written many case histories that started like that. And yet this one is different from all the rest. You see, this case history is my own. What makes a woman become a doctor, a psychiatrist? What makes her give her life to an institution filled with poor souls who have lost their way? Huge, hulking brutes like Jerry Stone.
They're hiding something from me. I gotta know.
Pitiful creatures like little Carrie Flint.
They won't let me play. Won't nobody let me play with them.
And the old man, the Frenchman, who wanted to go home.
Je vous rentrez chez moi. Je vous rentrez chez moi. Entendez-vous? Je vous rentrez chez moi. Je vous revois la France. Je vous revois la France.
Men and women like that, the lost ones, who are running from life and hiding in their own little private worlds. Why should I devote myself to them? Well, perhaps I had my own private world, too. A world I kept secret from everyone. Only one person ever guessed about that. Only one person. Another woman, Sally, whom I loved very much.
Jane, you want me to tell you something?
Of course.
I'm horribly jealous of you and Alex.
Why, Sally McGregor.
Oh, I don't mean that way. I mean your work, all the things you do together.
Well, I'm glad it's only that. Sally, it's a tough job being a doctor's wife, especially when he works with another woman. Good heavens, if you didn't trust me...
Oh, but I do, Jane. Believe me.
Of course I love Alex. Here in the hospital these past 5 years, we've worked so closely together. I respect him as a doctor, and I love him as a friend. But I also love you, Sally.
I love you, too.
Aside from my work, you're all I have. I couldn't do without either of you. I hope I'll never have to.
Jane.
Yes, dear?
You're so terribly attractive. I've often wondered why you never... Jane, you have been in love.
Once. A long time ago.
Not Alex.
No, dear. His name was Michael. We were very young, and he used to brood about getting ahead, being able to marry. It must have looked very hopeless. One night, he killed himself.
Jane.
Poor, frightened soul. Too terrified by life to fight back at it. I've never been in love since.
Jane, I'm sorry.
Oh, it doesn't hurt anymore. Now, let's talk about important things, shall we?
Important things? Why?
The new superintendent, Dr. Monet. He's due to take over tomorrow, you know. How do you think he's going to be?
Well, Alex says he's a foreigner. English or something.
English and something. He's a famous doctor.
Well, Alex is afraid he'll make a lot of changes. What do you think, Jane?
Oh, honey, I'm a woman. I hate to make up my mind. I'll just wait and let Dr. Monet make it up for me. Dr. Monet, you sent for me. I'm Dr. Everest.
Oh, yes, Dr. Everest. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Dr. Everest, I'll be brief and to the point. I've never worked willingly with a woman doctor.
Oh.
It's been my experience that women are entirely out of peace. They're out of place in medicine, especially in psychiatry.
I thought my record here was rather good.
That's beside the point. These files show you've been in charge of the male wards.
That's right.
I consider that much too dangerous for a woman.
Doesn't that depend on the woman? If she has any fear, she doesn't belong in a hospital like this.
I'm sorry, I completely disagree with you.
I see. And what are your plans for me, Dr. Monet?
I haven't quite decided. I shall need a little time to study things here. Meanwhile, of course...
Meanwhile, of course, I can resign. And Dr. McGregor?
Why should my plans for him concern you?
They do concern me very much. Dr. McGregor and I have worked as a team, and we're very good friends.
I have no interest in personal relationships. My job is to run this hospital, and while I'm here...
Oh, Charles, do you think I might run into town? Oh, I am sorry. I didn't know you were busy.
I've asked you not to come in without knocking. Dr. Everest, may I present my sister, Claire Monet?
How do you do?
Dr. Everest, are you a psychiatrist, too?
Some people think so.
Seems such a strange profession for a woman. But then everything here is so strange to me. It's my first experience in an asylum.
Claire, I've told you, hospital.
Oh, darling, of course. Well, I've got to run. So nice to have met you, Dr. Everest. See you later, Charles.
Dr. Everest, I must apologize for my sister. She...
Not at all. I think she's very attractive. Dr. Monet, we were discussing my work.
Yes.
Any special instructions?
No, not now. For the time being, we'll leave things just the way they are.
Jane, I don't get it. If he talked that way, why didn't you toss your job in his face?
For two good reasons, Alex. I need my job, and I like to think my job needs me. Besides, I can't convince myself he's quite the big bad wolf he sounds.
Don't tell me you like him.
Well, let's say I feel sorry for him.
Sorry for him? Why?
There's something troubling him. That's obvious. He's so bristling with defense mechanisms. I'd like to find out what's underneath.
I can tell you precisely nothing. Monet is hollow. He's so conservative, he creaks.
Well, you've talked to him, then?
Well, for a while. We were interrupted.
Oh, his sister?
Well, how did you know?
She just barged in.
You've been peeking?
No, just thinking.
And what does that mean, Dr. Everest?
I'll tell you, Alex, when I'm sure myself. I wasn't sure yet, but I had a hunch. The kind of hunch one woman gets about another. And the following night, I knew I was right. Dr. Monet gave a dinner party for the staff, and Claire went right to work on Alex. Nothing obvious, of course. Oh, no. No, I'll grant her that much. She was very clever. Too clever for Alex to even know what was happening. But Sally knew, and Dr. Monet knew. His face was more lined and troubled than ever. And that's how things remained, in the balance, until the night we had the trouble. I was just completing my rounds, and as I let myself into the dangerous ward...
Oh, I'm sure glad to see you, Dr. Everest. I've been afraid we're going to have trouble.
Who's on duty with you, Clarkson?
Nobody, Doctor. I'm on alone.
But I specifically ordered two attendants.
Yeah, I know, but the matron, she said it wasn't necessary.
The matron has no right to change my orders. This ward is not a one-man job.
She did a lot of talking, Dr. Everest, about how things was going to be different here.
Perhaps they will, perhaps they won't. Well, come along. You can do the ward with me.
Yes, ma'am. You'd better have a look at...
Clarkson, why are those screens around the Frenchman's bed?
Oh, he's pretty low tonight. Almost finished, I guess. Matron ordered them screens.
But she knows what that does to Jerry Stone. She knows he's always been jealous of the Frenchman. Those screens just make him feel more shut out. If he gets excited... Who's that?
Good evening, Doctor.
Oh, Dr. Monet.
I thought I'd have a look at the old man. There isn't much I can do.
Oh, I'm afraid not.
Oh, poor chap, he's almost done. Mon ami, est-ce que je peux vous aider?
Je veux rentrer chez moi. Je veux revoir la France.
Vous irez chez vous. Vous verrez la France. Je vous le promets.
Dr. Everest, Jerry Stone's out of bed.
I gotta see. I gotta see.
Jerry, go back to bed. Do you hear me? Go back to bed.
They're hiding something. They're hiding something from me behind the screen.
Clarkson, grab it.
I gotta see.
Come on, Jerry.
Here, Jerry, old man.
Doctor, he's dangerous. He's very strong.
I gotta see.
Jerry, don't you want to go to bed? It's very late, you know.
Jerry, stop it! Let go!
He was hiding things behind the screen.
Jerry, don't! Stop it, you'll break his wrist. Jerry, look at me. Jerry, I'm your friend.
Huh?
I've always been your friend.
Yeah. You're my friend.
I'm sorry. I'm almost...
It's all right, Jerry. You didn't mean to do it. Clarkson, you all right?
I think so.
Take him along and be gentle with him. He won't give you any more trouble.
Come on, Jerry.
Dr. Everest, I don't know what to say.
Oh, no speeches, please. You'd better strap up that wrist. Perhaps your sister can help you.
I'm afraid that's impossible. She's out tonight.
Oh, Did she happen to say where she was going?
No. No, she didn't.
I didn't think she would. Good night.
Dr. Everest, I sent for you this morning because there was one very important matter which we left quite unsettled last night.
If you mean...
I mean a matter of discipline, which apparently is knocking on my door at the moment. Come in.
I understand you wanted to see me.
That's quite right.
Well?
You've been matron here a long time, I believe.
15 years and 6 months.
And I feel sure you must have learned the value of authority in such a hospital as this. May I ask you why you countermanded Dr. Everest's orders last night?
You'll excuse me, sir. I've always said that women doctors have no place in a mental hospital. I was very glad to hear that you agreed with me.
I haven't asked your opinion of the hospital or those employed here.
No? And maybe you'd like to tell me and let me go about my duties. I'm a very busy woman.
Much too busy, it would appear.
And what might that mean?
Then I shall report you to the committee and advise them to ask for your resignation.
So I'm to leave, am I? And what about you?
That's quite enough.
How long do you think you'll be here when they learn the truth about you? And about your sister?
Be still.
Yes, your sister, who's nothing but a murderess. Sure, I made it my business to find out. And by lunchtime, everybody in the hospital will know. Sane and insane alike.
I think you better go.
I know why I'm being let out. It's that common little baggage there who calls herself a doctor.
Be quiet.
Ask her what she was to McGregor before his marriage. Before and after.
I said be quiet.
Don't you dare touch me.
Touch you? No one, no man in his senses would want to touch you. Now get out.
Sure I will. And be glad of it.
I wouldn't let her upset me, Doctor. Look, I've got a couple of hours off. Would you like to go for a drive? I'll go get the car out. What do you say?
What can I say, Dr. Everest? I'm afraid I'm going to be grateful again.
Second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
So many women write and say that Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder gives an unexpected glow, a brilliance, to the eyes. They seem astonished that face powder should accomplish this. But Lady Esther Bridal Pink is no ordinary powder, no ordinary shade. You'll realize it the instant you see Bridal Pink on your skin. It gives life and expression to your entire face. It not only makes your eyes glow with new beauty, but it makes your features look smaller, too. It softens the lines and angles of your face and makes you look younger. And what Lady Esther Bridal Pink does for the appearance of your skin is almost beyond words to describe. Even a dull, sallow skin instantly wakens to new tone and warmth. Even an abused or blemished skin looks suddenly young and fresh again, looks dainty and fine-textured, because of the delicate yet vibrant color. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brunette, auburn, or brown. Bridal Pink is intensely flattering to almost every skin it touches. The secret is in the blending, as well as the lovely color. Lady Esther Face Powder isn't just mixed in the usual way, it's blown by hurricanes to such infinitely fine texture that it feels as light as a summer breeze on your skin. Yet it clings at least 4 hours, covering up every tiny line and blemish. So ask for Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. Accept no other shade, for only Lady Esther Bridal Pink can give your skin and eyes that youthful, radiant look, that glad-to-be-alive look.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Private World, starring Herbert Marshall, Claudette Colbert, Isabel Jewell, and Frank Albertson.
I took Dr. Monet for a drive down to the beach. And for a long time, he sat there beside me in the car, staring out at the water, saying nothing. Then finally he turned to me, and his voice was very quiet and controlled.
It's true, you know, what the matron said. My sister is a murderess. Her married name was Claire Campbell. You may remember the case.
Vaguely. Don't you like the sea? I always come here when I'm...
Oh, it's no use being kind, pretending you've forgotten. Too many people remember it too well.
But she was exonerated.
Yes. It cost me everything I had, including my job. For 2 years, I couldn't get a look in anywhere.
That must have been terrible. But why do you put up with your sister?
I'm all she has in the world. What else can I do? When I got this job, I hoped the whole unsavory mess had been forgotten. And now the matron will rake it all up again.
Well, suppose she does. The hospital board must have known it anyway. And as far as the staff is concerned, it may even do you a lot of good.
Good?
Well, confidentially, they think you're a bit too immaculate.
I see. And you? What do you think?
I think, of all the cardinal virtues, most of all, I admire courage. He never knew why I said that. He never asked. But as we worked together in the weeks that followed, I knew that a deep sense of peace was growing within him, and I was glad. There was only one thing to worry him now, the same thing that worried me and someone else.
I don't want to interrupt you, Jane, if you're very busy.
Nonsense, Sally. Sit down. I was just waiting for the nurse to bring in Carrie Flint.
Poor Carrie. Isn't she any better?
Not much, I'm afraid. She still wants to kiss everyone she meets.
I know. And then the kiss always turns into a wicked bite. Oh, I've thought so much about her.
Yes? Oh, come in. Come in, nurse. Hello, Carrie.
I'm Carrie Flint. I've come to see you.
Yes, I know, and I'm very glad.
You're good to me. I love you. I want to kiss your hand. I want to...
No, Carrie. No, you mustn't. Nurse, I think we might try some occupational therapy. Let's start her on it tomorrow morning.
Yes, doctor.
I'm Carrie Flint. I've come to see you.
Yes, Carrie, and tomorrow you're going to have a lovely surprise. Now, you run along with Nurse and she'll tell you all about it.
Come on, Carrie.
I'm Carrie Flint. I'm going to have a surprise.
Now then, Sally, what brings you here today?
Oh, nothing special.
Anything on your mind?
Oh, nothing to worry about.
Oh, Jane,
Sally, darling, what is it? Oh, come on, tell me. Tell Jane.
I'm going to have a baby.
But that's wonderful. Does Alex know?
Oh, no, I haven't told him.
Why not?
I can't. He doesn't care about me anymore. He's in another world. I can't get near
but
him.
But this will bring him back to his senses, darling. Bring him back to
you. I don't want him that way. Just because he's sorry for me.
Sally, if you don't tell Alex, I will.
You won't. I won't have it. Don't you dare interfere.
Sally. Oh, darling.
Oh, Jane, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to let go.
It's better that way. It's better to let go, not to keep things bottled up inside.
You don't know. You don't know the things I keep in my mind. All sorts of ideas. Sometimes I think I'm going mad.
Sally, you mustn't talk that way.
It's true. I'll be just like Carrie Flint if Alex doesn't come back to me.
But he will, darling. I promise you. Sally, everything's going to be all right. Now you run on home and leave it all to me.
I know, Biscuit. I know I'm waiting, too. Hello, Alex. Oh, darling, I'm so glad you called. Oh, you won't be home till late? Very late? Oh, no. No, Alex, I understand. He's not coming, Biscuit. He's not coming home. Just the two of us again. Just the two of us to sit here and think and think and think. What was that? The door? Oh, no. No, just the shutter on the window. You heard it, didn't you? Of course, that's what it was. The shutter. No one would be coming here. It's too late.
Sally.
What was that? Oh, Biscuit. Biscuit, did you hear someone call?
Sally.
You did. You heard it, too.
Sally.
Who is it? What do you want?
I'm Carrie Flint. I've come to see you.
Oh, no.
I'm Carrie Flint. I've come to see you.
Oh, no. No. No.
Don't you see, Dr. Monet, I've promised Sally I'd come in and talk with her. She'll expect me to have some sort of solution. That's why I had to talk to you first.
Please go on.
I'm not trying to clear Alex. He's been wrong, of course. But Alex is so young, some ways, almost naive. There's someone else much more to blame.
You mean my sister, of course. What do you suggest I do?
Get rid of her. Your sister is destructive. If you don't get rid of her, she'll destroy you, just as she's destroying Alex and Sally.
You're very fond of the McGregors, aren't you?
Very. Aside from my work, they're all I have.
And Mrs. McGregor is jealous of my sister, but not at all jealous of you.
Why should Sally be jealous of me?
The general feeling is that she has every reason.
Are you implying... Oh, of course. You heard it from the matron. If you listen hard, you know, you'll hear it from others.
But I didn't say
that. One expects such stupidity from interns and matrons, but it's galling to find it in one's chief of staff.
I'm really sorry. I apologize. I was simply trying to find the truth.
Why should you want the truth about me?
Because what you are as a human being concerns me very much. How can you do your best work as a doctor if you have a problem of your own? Suppose you were in love with Dr. McGregor. Suppose he were in love with you.
Dr. Monet.
What of it? I hold no brief for my sister. She is destructive, but at least she obeys her natural instincts. She makes no pretense of being perfect, flawless, above all human emotions.
I don't believe you need to say anything more. Yes?
Dr. Everest.
What's the matter, nurse?
I was taking a book over to Mrs. McGregor.
Well, what's the matter? Say it.
You'd better hurry. There's been an accident.
We found Sally lying at the foot of the stairs, a little pathetic, crumpled heap. Dr. Monet examined her quickly, gently. Then very quietly, he turned to me.
Phone up to surgery. Tell them to be ready. I'll have to operate.
Alex got back a little later, just as they took her into surgery. One look at his face, and I knew I'd never have to speak to him. If he needed punishment, this was all that any man could take. I think that was the longest night of my life, and of Alex's too, until at last the door of the operating room opened, and...
All right, McGregor, you can go in now. I think your wife is going to live. Yes? Oh, good evening, Dr. McGregor. Sit down. Cigarette?
Thanks. I just came from seeing Sally. I don't know how to tell you what I feel. If it hadn't been for you, I...
Oh, forget it. You know, as soon as she's able, I want you to take her away for a few weeks. Do you both a world of good.
Oh, that's very kind, but I don't see how that can be arranged. What with Dr. Everest leaving.
Leaving?
Oh, yes. I hope you're not going to let her go.
Dr. Everest leaving is, if I may say so, her own problem.
People don't have problems all their own. If she goes, it will affect every one of us. You, most of all.
Very true. Dr. Everest is a very able psychiatrist.
That's true. But that isn't the point. The point is, she's in love with you, and you're in love with her.
Dr. McGregor, you let your imagination run away with you.
I haven't any imagination. I've known you were in love with Jane for a long time. I wasn't sure about her until tonight.
That's impossible. She's in love with someone else. I know she is.
Sure, and it's time she dumped that Michael overboard.
Michael? Did you say...
I said Michael. The one who's dead. The one who killed himself 10 years ago.
But if he's dead, then...
Then that's right, Doctor. And don't you think you'd better hurry?
Don't you see, I couldn't let you go like this. Dr. Everest, believe me, I need you here.
I'm sorry, your work will go on just the same without me.
But it won't, I assure you.
Nonsense, there's no one who can't be replaced.
I wish you believed that.
I do.
Then what about your Michael?
Michael?
Can your Michael be replaced?
How did you?
If I was sure you were leaving here alone, without him, I might let you go without a protest. If you could say that to me, honestly.
Please.
Jane, you've done so much for all of us, for Alex and Sally, for me, for Claire.
Claire?
Yes, she's on her own now. I sent her away this afternoon. You've done so much for us. You must do something for yourself. You must destroy this thing that cuts you off from life, this sacred ghost. If you won't accept that from me as a man, you must respect my opinion as a doctor.
As a doctor, what would you prescribe?
Love, in large and generous portions. My love, if you'll have it.
Child.
All the rest of your life.
All the rest of my life.
Thank you, Frank Albertson, Isabel Jewell, Herbert Marshall, and Claudette Colbert, for an absorbing half hour. The Motion Picture Relief Fund is grateful for your fine performances tonight. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Do you know one of the most frequent causes of skin trouble? It's those dry, clinging flakes on the surface of your skin, so tiny you can hardly feel or see them. Yet they clog and stretch the pore openings. They ruin the effect of your face powder. For powder just cannot cling smoothly to a rough, flaky skin. Now here's the way to remove those stubborn flakes quickly and easily. Just rub Lady Esther four-purpose face cream well into your skin. Wipe it off, and gone are the ragged, clinging flakes. They're loosened, absorbed, completely removed by Lady Esther face cream. Your skin has a new silken feel to it. A petal-like smoothness, on which powder looks clear and youthful, looks perfect. Lady Esther Face Cream gives your skin a complete beauty treatment every time you use it. First, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Second, it absorbs the dry flakes and beautifully softens your skin. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And fourth, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. Lady Esther Face Cream and Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. What a happy combination for beauty. All you need for a smooth, young-looking skin. Ask for Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream and Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. Bridal Pink, the shade that gives your skin the life, the warmth, the radiance of a woman in love.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present The Valiant. It will star Pedro de Cordoba, Robert Middlemass, Dorothy McGuire, and Humphrey Bogart. Be sure to listen. Claudette Colbert can soon be seen in the Jack Skirball production, Guest Wife. Herbert Marshall appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Private Worlds was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, who are now celebrating their third of a century anniversary, and their current release is the Technicolor production, Incendiary Blonde. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther Face Cream to buy a box of Lady Esther Face Powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.